We're talking with Michigan State University Board Chairperson Dorothy Gonzalez. And when the tape ended, we were talking about Peter McPherson, President McPherson's leadership style and relationship with the board. Would you like to talk a little bit again about his relationship with the board?
I started to say that sometimes it can be a little touchy or frustrating for board members because he's a hands-on CEO, and he understands so much about operations, and maybe he moves a lot faster than what we're ready to settle, you know, on the issue or whatever. And I think he comes from a background of being in charge and not necessarily having to deal with these eight people, you know, and getting the nod before he moves forward. And sometimes it gets a little touchy, but I think overall, if you ask my colleagues, that everyone is very appreciative of his leadership and has really moved Michigan State forward. I mean, just the fact that we've raised so much money to build the buildings that we're building, and his contacts with the federal government has been so positive because he knows who to call for what. And building the science building, you know, in the new Lear Center, it's just been, just very successful. He's been very successful.
Have you worked with him in any other the financial areas?
I sit on the board? Finance committee.
You're on the finance committee.
Yes. Yeah. I keep telling him, I don't know why we have people, you know, we have people like Cambridge and people from out of town to come and tell us, since you know all this stuff already. They come with the recommendations, and of course he checks everything out and asks all these questions, and then I keep saying, why are we paying them? You know? He's very good at the finances.
The issue of athletics is obviously comes up, and the board has to deal with that. What do you see as the role that athletics should play at a Big Ten university like Michigan State?
I think that athletics has its, has a role to play at Michigan State, because of course you're always going to have individuals who are very interested, and of course our alumni, fans enjoy it too. But I want to see every athlete leave here with an education. Not everybody's going to make it into the big leagues, and not everybody's going to be making big money. And I at least want to know that when our players leave, our youngsters leave, that they do have a diploma in hand and an ability to support themselves and to go on to other things, if it isn't football, basketball, or whatever. To be an educated person in the best sense.
Have you found that this position is similar to other board members, or have there been some controversy or conflicts over those issues?
I think the bottom line with all of us is that we do want our students to go away with an education. The question is, how do we do that, and how do we ensure that every young person that leaves here leaves with an education and that diploma in hand to pursue other avenues if they don't make it in athletics?
The Clarabelle Smith Center, we have experience in ATL in terms of working with students on their writing, and I wondered if that has had, how the board were they supportive of that idea, or a separate facility to assist the athletes?
The fact that Stephen Smith was able to put forth the money helped a lot in the decision, I think, because we didn't have to go out and raise the money, and we didn't have to spend, you know, just an enormous amount of time trying to figure out how we would do that. And when somebody can come forth and say, look, this is what I want to do with my donation, it just made sense to do it. And of course, again, for me, it was the reinforcement that our students were going to be educated. I mean, that's why they're here. And we know that their schedules are strenuous and somewhat difficult, but having the center there with all the latest equipment made it more viable for them to do that. And thanks to Stephen Smith and his family.
Community and public relations also, it seems to me, are important issues for the board members that you have to deal with. Some of the key issues recently, you mentioned diversity issues, minority enrollment and retention. Were there any issues in dealing with community and public relations in your tenure as either board chair or as a trustee that have stood out to you, that have been important, that should be part of the record, that frequently people ignore when they're looking at the history of the university in the last few years or even recently?
We have had a discussion to the fact that we have to spend more time in dialogue with community groups and like with the city of East Lansing. We had dinner with some of our colleagues from the city council not too long ago and just talked. We all realized that we need to have more time to do that. But one of the things is that it's hard given the time that we're all here. Since people come from different places, those of us that live here, of course, it's not that hard. But because we all don't live here, and if we want to have meetings with so-called community groups or other people from the city and just have, you know, dinner together, for heaven's sakes, just so we can talk, it makes it difficult to arrange those kinds of meetings or dinners. But we have made it a priority for us to follow up on those kinds of gatherings in this next coming year, because it's important. I value the input in talking to community groups and other individuals, because someone can always come up with ideas or try things that we haven't done before. And I think that part of that is too that they can feel part of the MSU family too, when we can be more inclusive and thank people for, you know, working with us, for us, and sharing, you know, their knowledge.
And your role as a East Lansing resident too, you have that perspective. And
yes, I do. Every time I go to the post office or to the store or the cleaner.
So you're recognized in the community?
Yeah, that is real strange. I mean, at first I could not get used to that.
Yeah, fame or notoriety?
Yeah, no. Sometimes I'd rather, you know, they didn't. But usually when I go pick up my mail every morning at the post office, somebody will stop and tell me if it's good, bad, or whatever, you know, and I just listen and thank them for their input, even though I might not agree with them.
The riots, of course, forced the board to at least address the issue. What about what the serious issues that were involved in that? What would you say, or what's your assessment of how the board has handled that as a recent, you know, town gown issue, mm-hmm, in the community? Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I really got a better sense of it by attending all the meetings that we had around campus. I went to all of the forums that we held on campus because I had been inundated with so much information that I didn't know, you know, what was true, what happened first, who was involved, who wasn't involved. And so I said, you know, when we set the forums up around the campus to talk to the students and to talk to others, I started attending those because in order for me to be coherent about what happened or didn't happen, I needed to know what happened because I was not around when it happened. At that time, we were all in Florida because we were, you know, at the tournament, and there was no way that we could get home. And so what we saw was on TV, what other people said, what the media said, listening to our students and the communities and others. I think people tend to forget that it was not the majority of our students that were involved. These were a lot of outside individuals. And I think it took a very negative, punitive attitude to this whole, I don't know, why did we call it a riot? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think calling it a riot really created a riot.
Okay.
I guess is the way to put it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want us to have a knee-jerk reaction to this kind of, negative behavior from some students. And I wanted us to spend more time educating those individuals involved and those individuals, I guess, that had been arrested and took part in whatever. Because, I mean, substance abuse is just a piece of the whole picture. And in order to keep this from happening again, you have to talk about issues of what that means of safety. You know, people can die from drinking certain amount of alcohol. I mean, what it can do to you, et cetera. So my whole push with the administration and with the president was that you expound on it, on the whole issue of safety. If you drink, you could, you know, have an accident. Mm-hmm. You could be watching somebody else, like some of the other kids were during the riot, and then they could have gotten, and some of them did get burned just by watching. Those kinds of things. But, you know, we're here to educate in the broadest sense. So under that whole umbrella of education, it has to be about alcohol. It has to be about behavior. It has to be about expectations, you know. And standards and how we expect our student body to behave and respond in those kinds of situations. And we've started doing that, and we did that and are continuing to do that. And letting individuals know that there are repercussions if you do, break the rules like anybody else. But I didn't like the negative, punitive, knee-jerk reaction that we had with this when it first started hitting the papers, and I was just so tired of watching those videos on the cable.
On television.
Oh, I mean, it's just, I mean, it kind of like, it, you know, it feeds on itself, and it feeds this frenzy, and I just wanted us to, you know, put together a plan of action, what we intended to do, and it had to be on a continuous basis throughout the school year and make it part of our policy, and people understand what the rules are, and let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move forward.
Have you found that the public has been, in any responses that you've have been addressed to you personally, or have they been pleased with the board's actions?
No. It's been mixed. I mean, there's some people who want the kids' heads, you know. And then there's some individuals who, think we just automatically should expel the kids, you know, our students from the university and those kinds of issues. But, again, I think it's been a very punitive reaction to the action that took place that night, you know, and I just think that some of it was very severe.
The issues of technology sometimes raise money issues in terms of decision making, technology versus things like faculty salaries and other. What has been your position on technology, computers, in terms of educational support? Where do you see that it fits in here at Michigan State?
I don't know how we live without them. I mean, I have a computer and I'm on that all the time with my work, you know, at home. It's like we can't live without them, you know. You go pump your gas, the little computer.
So Y2K will be...
Yes, right. I mean, it's the way of the world now. There's no way getting around it. You have to be computer literate, period. How we do that is the question. And not necessarily raising the stakes for students that might not be able to afford it. But if we stick to their policy that there will be a financial aid package along with students who can't afford to have a computer when they come to campus, that is more reassuring to me. It's a must. I support that whole issue of technology. It's a must, but how we carry it out is a question for me, because number one, there are a lot of students who, I was just talking to a communication class 2 weeks ago, and not all students were aware that they must come with a computer.
Mm-hmm. And this is the new proposal.
Yes,
for
and this is the new
2001.
Proposal, right, uh-huh. For 2001. I mean, there's still a lot of questions in their mind, especially if you're sharing a dorm room. What if everybody comes with a computer? Where do you put all these computers?
<That's>
And I hadn't thought about that. And I said, gee, now that makes common sense. There's four of us in a room. All four of us have to have a computer. Now, where do we put all these computers? And what kind of computer are they going to have? Can they go on over to, you know, to Best Buy and buy one for $400, or do they spend $200, you know?
Or
$2,000. Or $2,000, right. And so I don't think that we have ironed out all the kinks on that piece, and I think once that we do that, that everyone will understand what the standard is or isn't. And if there are four or five people in a room, no, not everyone needs to bring their own computer. I think you could share.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of that was, too, that the students were wondering if they were going to do away with the labs, the computer labs. And many of them say that they would still want the labs because at least they can go to the lab and work on their papers or whatever if they can't do it back in the dorm room because their, you know, their suite mates are in bed or whatever. So they raised a lot of questions for me that I hadn't thought about before. And we just have to do a better job of communicating and getting the information out to the students and their parents, mm-hmm. as to what kind of a computer they should bring, you know, what is the standard. There will be a financial aid package for those students that, you know, can't afford a computer, that are on financial aid. And will we still have the labs or not the labs? And you know, those kinds of issues. And once that's communicated and everybody understands, I think it'll go a lot smoother.
The issue of the future is obviously one important one for our university leaders to consider. And in your experience as both a trustee and also in the last year as chair, are there any things that you think in the future MSU it's even become more important or more evident to you that we should emphasize as a university?
I think that Michigan State has really proven to be a leader in the whole area of land grant institutions. That that just because you're a land grant institution doesn't mean you can't go on to bigger and better things and think big. And the fact that, you know, we have built partnerships with other institutions has really kind of put us out in the forefront, like with DCL, mm-hmm. You know, with Wayne State and with U of M trying to do collaboration on this virtual university, you know, just joint projects with others, exploring ties with Grand Valley and some of the other smaller colleges in the western part of Michigan. You know, our ability to raise the money that we have for the support on campus for our buildings and our, you know, science and research. Michigan State stands out among other universities of really, you know, looking to the future and being very progressive. And I you know, hear that from some other institutions where some of my other colleagues are, they go, every time we pick up the paper, we read something about Michigan State. That you're always doing things, that you're looking at this and you're looking at that. And I think that's just very positive for us.
Mm-hmm. In terms of size, how, looking at the university, do you feel that we're at the optimum size? Is there such a thing? 40,000, is there a size that might be too big or a goal, or are we at the just right stage? What would you see?
I don't think that we want to be any bigger. Mm-hmm. I think we want to, that we like the way that it is. If we had more students, I don't know where we'd put them, mm-hmm. number one. But I think that it's the right size. 45, 46 is you know, accommodating for campus and for the student. I think if we started looking at higher numbers, then we would have to start asking ourselves, where do we put them? Mm-hmm. And
so it's not just a function of bigger is
no,
better.
No, I don't think so. Because then we'd have to start thinking about, okay, we have to build some other dorms, and I don't think that we want to do that right
mm-hmm.
now.
No. In looking at maybe the opportunity that you have through this interview to share some insights or anything like that, is there any overarching item that you would like to mention that you haven't talked about before in terms of both at your role as a on the board, or what if you could assess in just a few words, one of these 25 words or less questions, how would you assess your your time on the board? What have you gained from it or learned from it?
It seems like the time was very short, not when I look back at it. But I have just gained a wealth of experience and knowledge just serving as chair. The opportunity to meet so many people and talk with so many individuals who make things possible here at Michigan State, you know, from internally with our staff, our faculty, the students, but also people who, you know, support us financially. It's just been a real thrill for me, really, to be involved with this university and the people that support it and are part of the Spartan family. I just really enjoyed it, and hopefully, I can continue doing that in the future.
Are there? I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about your experience as on the board, and I want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.